The Vital Statistics of Mental Health with psychologist David Abramson is brought to you by the High FM Helpline. Caring, compassionate, confidential. 0800 24 24 36.
David Abramson, a very good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Mr. Feldman. How are you?
Excellent. Thank you for asking. My concern, and an article I wrote yesterday, is that we've really demonized 2020. Some of it, of course, for good reason. It hasn't exactly been an easy year for most. But we've also pinned a lot of other crimes to the year. But what that really does imply is that when 2020 is finished, that 2021 wouldn't have the audacity, or what we can say, the chutzpah, to challenge us in the same way. That's absolutely not going to be reality. We know that COVID-19 is going to be with us for a while still, and we know we're going to lose our car keys, and we're going to stump our toes, and we're going to have some natural disasters in 2021 as well. But my worry is that we almost think that it's not going to happen.
No, absolutely. It's so interesting. I think we mentioned it a while ago, how everyone, you know, if you have a bad meal or anything, you know, that meal was 2020.
Yeah,
you know,
it was 2020.
Yes, because the connotation is 2020. It's just everything's bad about it. Yeah. But I think to answer your question, I think it's important to take a step back and actually just try and understand, because this is a question I'm getting a lot. And you'll see how it will relate to answering your question, is why are people, very bright, intelligent people not keeping to the rules, not keeping to the mask, you know, wearing masks and social distancing, and doing the basics? And I think it's a very important question. And I think the answer to that is that people are kind of irrational. We don't, respond well in our behavior to delayed consequences. You know, if we put our hand in the fire, we get burnt, and we know now that's immediate. And when it comes to, you know, the coronavirus, it's very different because it's delayed. And I think for me, and the same thing, and we visited this, I think we're going to be talking about this concept a lot, is this, you know, we speak about the cognitive dissonance, you know, when you're, you know, when there's a inconsistency between one's beliefs and one's actions. But I think what's very, very important is that people are looking for something, just to take it a step further, called cognitive dissonance resolution. And I want to give you an example of and maybe we can use Donald Trump when he first got up and he after his inauguration said, I had these much bigger crowd than Obama, and everyone could see that he didn't, you know. So how do we actually, the people who want to support him, what do they actually do? They need to find some kind of way to get cognitive resolution. So what they do, so what was introduced was fake news, because clearly what you're seeing is not real. And that's become a huge problem, I think, for us worldwide, because this idea around fake news and not believing what is reality has made it very, very difficult for people to follow the reality of COVID, you know, and to understand that we are all in danger, and that we need to, as we're talking about, continue taking precautions into 2021. So I think for me, from a macro point of view, Trump comes in again, I think we're in trouble as far as COVID is concerned, because again, this whole idea of fake news and this need to find this cognitive resolution is going to continue more and more. We're going to hear more and more about it as we have over his presidency. So,
okay, so David, I have to say I'm not 100% following, and maybe because I'm going down the whole angle of Donald Trump, which is confusing me a bit. You used the term cognitive dissonance resolution,
right?
What is that? So, what does that term actually mean?
So really what that means is, and why I'm using this term, and this related closer maybe to COVID.
Yes.
Is that when we, so cognitive dissonance, as we've spoken about before, is really when, our actions, and our beliefs clash. And so somehow we have to resolve that. We have to resolve that kind of, that conflict. So we need to find a resolution, and we have to find a resolution. So an example would be, if you're a smoker, you know, we know it's bad for you. So you'd kind of say, you know what, but life's short. You know, you'd find some
kind of my grandmother smoked, which she did until the age of 86, gave up then.
Absolutely.
You know.
Absolutely.
And died at 94. So.
Exactly.
Is that cognitive dissonance resolution? If I want to be a smoker, I talk about my grandmother.
Absolutely.
Knowing that there is a mountain of evidence that is telling me I shouldn't smoke. Okay, I got it.
And just as we're saying with COVID, you know, there's a mountain of evidence that says, you know, wearing masks is the way to go. Yet the cognitive dissonance resolution we come to, because we don't want to wear masks anymore. We don't want to social distance anymore. We've got to find a way to resolve this dissonance. And so we look to our friends, we look to the papers, we look to people like Donald Trump who say it's over. And that's my concern about moving into 2021, is that, you know, that we are going to look for that cognitive dissonance resolution. And I think there's ways that we can try and make sure that we don't fall into that trap, that we don't, because I think we are all fatigued. We all want this to be over. And we are looking to resolve this dissonance between what we need to do and what we really, really want to do.
Charles says, I blame COVID, not 2020. Well, of course, that's what we should be doing, because we should be talking about that, otherwise, or maybe, David, it's just a coping mechanism. Maybe it's a way to say, you know, and again, like I quoted in my article, the famous, became this mantra when the men went off to war in 1914, we'll be home by Christmas. It was a way of saying, okay, we're going to get there. It's just until Christmas, and then we're going to be back. So we'll get through this. Of course, it took years and years and millions of lives lost. You know, we almost, you know, when we went into lockdown, I think, what was it meant to be, for 2 weeks, three weeks? I can't remember. It was so long ago. We kind of knew that it wouldn't be that. But we delude ourselves that it is as a way of coping. So my concern is, it's on the 1st of January, how are we going to manage? I mean, do we expect, and I do, I think people are going to be very depressed in January.
Yes.
When they've had a bit of a holiday and they're feeling a bit better about things, but then the reality dawns somewhere around the 10th or the 15th of January that we're in 2021 and it actually doesn't look very much different from 2020.
Oh, I think it's absolutely a human state. You know, we want to know predictability, have predictability. So as we've said, if you want to reach a finish line, then you know how to pace yourself. But we can't do that at the moment because we actually don't know where that finishing line is. So we create them artificially, and that's really where we see this cognitive dissonance come in, where we actually delude ourselves in order to protect ourselves. So that's why we see, people creating these false, kind of like finish lines, as you say, or, you know, these false narratives on how to deal with things, you know, that things will be over and things are better in order to cope. So it does. It's really, really difficult. And I think there are ways that we can help ourselves to cope with this uncertainty. And one of the biggest things I would suggest, and I don't know about you, Howard, but I'm not really liking this new normal phrase. I hate it.
New normal.
People say new normal, there's nothing irritating. Normal about this. So I would rather say, maybe we can reframe it and say, instead of the new normal, one of the things we can do is be aware of what we can control and start to create new routines. It's not normal. It is new, but to control what we can. And I think that's important. And I think we are adaptive as human beings. And if we can start to create new routines, it becomes part of our lives. And then we have a new predictability and a new consistency. So it's predictable to know that we have to put on our masks, and that when we go shopping, we need to keep a distance, and we need to wash our hands. That becomes predictable. Yes. Does it take time to get used to it? Absolutely. But it's the more we do it, the more it becomes part of our consistent life, and a consistency and predictability helps us to feel less anxious. So that's one of the things we can do. And yeah, is not to aim for a new normal, but to create a new consistency and predictability in our lives, new routines, because psychologically, in times of stress, that's what we do. We go to our routine. We go to our predictability. So it's so important. And that's why I think so many people are struggling right now, is because, you know, we haven't created that predictability yet. It doesn't quite feel like routine yet, but that really, the more we do it, then, you know, that will come in time where it actually becomes part of how we live. And that's when we're going to settle into this, you know, into the predictability of this new world.
Or current normal.
The current normal, exactly.
You know, knowing that it is not going to be like this forever. Things will shift once again. This is just our current normal.
Absolutely, absolutely. And yes, we don't know when that finish line is. We don't know, and that is very unsettling. But again, you know, to focus on what, and again, this is what I'm going to stress this morning, is to focus on what we can control. And do that. And also be kind to oneself. This is a tough time. It's unpredictable. And so look after yourself and try not to judge yourself. You know, we're all going through this together, and it's a very, very difficult time. And that would lead on to a third thing, is to look after oneself as far as, you know, just making sure that, you know, where you can, you're not putting yourself under pressure. You know, you're avoiding stresses that you can, and also doing things that make you happy, doing things that, that fill you up, you know, especially during times when we're struggling. So I think it's so important. It's not about being selfish. And I often get this with parents saying, oh, you know, how can I, you know, I've got to look after the kids. No, so of course it's important to look after the kids, but it's so important to make sure that you look after yourself first.
It's interesting, David. You've covered both my articles. I haven't distributed this one yet, but my next article, which is one that I wrote for the Jewish Report, was exactly that. I said, you know, when you're running away from an elephant in the jungle, you don't worry about the, you know, if you're messing your shoes up. Now, obviously, we're not all living in a fight or flight that our priorities are so clear. But when I look back on the couple of months that I've had and the last few weeks that I've had, in terms of my father being desperately ill and then passing away, and then I came back to, and I'm not getting into the whole conversation around it, but I came back to a community that was really fighting and turning on itself. I just thought, you know, and I tried to get involved, and I realized that I was going to get a hiding to nothing, and that I was going to suffer for it. Less than 2 weeks, in fact, about 10 days after my father passed away. And I realized, and we have this feature on the morning show, Today I Learned. And what I wrote was, today I learned that you can only, 10 days after your father passes away, you can only save yourself. You can't save a community. And I feel that it's a metaphor for a lot of us. We've actually got to look at what we can do to save ourselves, to protect ourselves and to be kind to ourselves. Because I can tell you that if we don't do it for ourselves, no one is doing it for us. It's really as simple as that.
It's so important what you're saying. I think we need to make a distinction, and I'd like your thoughts, Howard, but I think obviously, I think we want to watch out for our fellow man and make sure that they're okay. But I agree completely with what you're saying. If you don't do step one is yourself. Step one is making sure that you're okay. And then if you've got enough in the tank, if you've got enough to give, then give. But it's actually self-destructive. It's actually self-destructive to give what you don't. So, what you don't have. So I think for me, your point is so important, and that relates exactly to your experience. And I think relates exactly to this COVID moving forward, is that we need to look after ourselves and make sure that we're okay. And if we're okay, then we're going to be able to look after our family. We're going to be able to look maybe even after people in the community, but we need to do step one first. So that's number one. And number two, as we said, control what you can and create a new routine, that you can settle into. And yes, it is predictably unpredictable, but it's not, And let's not worry about the finish line. Let's just worry about getting into or focus on getting into this new way of being. So,
absolutely. So David Abramson, I'm stopping you right there. Thank you as always. Words of wisdom.